good to have Brother Smith with us and his wife and son-in-law and daughter and a brand new grandbaby. This Pastor Smith pastors at Pine Bluff Baptist Church in Albany, Georgia. And they are the church that oversees the Venture of Faith camp in Lake Park, Georgia. So good to have you stop in and be with us here this evening. A word on the socks for the nursing home. It needs to have these little bitty gadgets on the bottom. So if you need to see it, because they will not let them wear them unless it is. So if you're going to bring some, come by and see these and feel these little things. It's almost like you wear them in the shower, but I don't know if anybody wears socks in the shower. But they're just little bitty grabbers, and that's what they look like. So if you need to see them, that's the kind they need to be, so we can get them to the nursing home folks and they can wear them and stay safe. There is also some flyers over here on this here front pew, information about the 68th anniversary service. Take them, get them to friends and families, invite them over there. Don't forget their potluck after the morning service as well. And be in prayer for Brother LeBeau. Brother LeBeau on Friday of this past week was notified by his doctor that he has cancer. So be in prayer for him. He may get to stay with us Sunday evening. They're not positive yet. They have an appointment already at Duke Hospital somewhere in North Carolina. Anyway, he's got to drive from here to the hospital. It's a charity hospital. They're going to see him up there at Duke University and see what's going on with Brother Bo. You know, he's blind already since about 6 years old, and now cancer's come on him. And I believe it was last year or the year before he lost his younger brother. Where's my mom? Is that right? Younger brother last year, wasn't it, to cancer. So be in prayer for him, and his twin brother's blind as well. I've related that to y'all before. So be in prayer for that family during this time. But we're still going, they're still coming. He told me, no, Pastor, I'm coming. I'll be down there. Matter of fact, I think tonight he is actually up in Oviedo, Starlight Baptist Church, with Brother Riggs up there tonight. So he kept the schedule. Come on down and be with us next Sunday. And so y'all pray for him. I know that's a difficult thing to go through. Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. And we've been going through a little topical type study for probably 6 Sunday evenings now. Abounding in Christ has been the thought, the main primary thought. There in verses 1, 2, 3 is a reminder of God's presence. In difficult times, it's good to know God's presence, but I found as I've walked with Him these last 27 years that in the good times it's good to know His presence. I'm glad I got a God that's God the same, you know, yesterday, today, and forever, but He's the same on the mountaintops, in the valley, and in the fire, and just at a time of fellowship. He's the same. He's there. So to be reminded of His presence is a wonderful thing. Now, you remember when we started this study, we went through some historical facts about Ephesus. It was a very wicked city, very wicked, with all kind of sexual type sins that was going on, temple prostitution, things of that matter. It was well renowned because of the Ephesus temple. It was 425 feet long. The temple, 225 feet wide. It had 127 columns that were 60 feet in height, that people would come and they'd worship at during the at this temple place. It was actually bigger than the Parthenon at the Acropolis there in Athens. So it was a very well-known city. And so, and to be honest, Paul spent 3 years here. This is the longest place that Paul has ever spent in one place. And so Paul spent some time there. Matter of fact, in Acts, Paul says, with tears, I did cease night and day to warn you. I I mean, he was burdened about this place. And we see, as you study through the whole book of Ephesians, you notice that at the very end of it, it begins to deal with spiritual instruments of warfare, the armor of God, and he deals a lot with family, you know, husband and wife, father, mother, and children, and how to interact. And the reason being behind all that teaching was because of the wicked place that they were living at. And so verses 1 through 3 reminded the Ephesians, the Ephesus people, that Christ, God's presence is always near and it's always there. And then we looked last two weeks, we looked at the abundance we have in Christ. I mean, the redemption we have in Him and the enjoyment that we have. I mean, our standing in Christ. Today we're going to look at that one. Our standing in Christ. And it's good to know that once I'm saved, I'm always saved, and I'm always standing in front of God with Christ in me, the hope of glory, being hid in Christ. And so that's what we looked at the last couple of weeks. And so tonight in verses, let's read 7 through 12 tonight, and we'll probably finish up not next Sunday, but the Sunday after this study, abounding in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 7 through 12. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Tonight, the abundance in Christ. So we've been reminded of God's presence. Secondly, we were told here in verses 3 through 14, really, of our standing in Christ. And so now we're going to look at our abundance in Christ. And all this has to do with abounding in Christ. Now, as we look at this and we search out the scriptures, Oliver B. Green said this. He said, "Love, the love demonstrated by the Father in freely giving His Son, the love demonstrated by the Son in freely giving Himself, in essence, the just for the unjust, will be the marvel of all eternity." Can you imagine just for a moment how God, when He looks at, and we're standing in heaven, and He sees the exchange rate. I mean, you know, exchange rate on CDs have been going crazy for years now. It used to get them pretty nice and decent. Now, if you get a 0.5%, you'll be pretty good. This past week, I got an email from CFE saying that if you're a new customer, they'll give you 2.59 on a CD for 10 months. I'm going to tell you, God's exchange of a rate, when He sees what He's getting in us, it's pretty sad. It really is. Compared to what He gave. But yet He gave anyway. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so as we look at the abundance that we enjoy in Christ Jesus, the first thing we notice in verse 7, abundance we have, is in whom we have redemption through His blood. You know, in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve had sinned, they were covered by coats of skin of innocent animals that God come into the garden, look into fellowship with them, and they had realized that they had transgressed God's law. They hid themselves, and they covered themselves with some fig leaves, which was not enough. God covered them with the skins of animals and taught them the practice of sacrificing the innocent for the guilty in that process, and pointing them to what would take place on the cross of Calvary. And no doubt, Adam and Eve taught Cain and Abel the same thing, because Abel when they come time for them old enough to offer a sacrifice, Abel offered that which was innocent, the lamb. But Cain showed up with that. He had worked with his hands out of the garden, some vegetables, some fruit. And listen, I like vegetables and I like fruits. I like all the stuff that comes up out of the ground, dear friend. But that was not God's plan. It was not God's way. And he presented that from the works of his hands, and it was not acceptable in the sight of God. And I don't know why in the world we, in this day and age, have good, solid King James Bibles. We can read them, study them, look through them. We can see the example. But yet today, we'll have folks that try to show up and offer God something in exchange for eternal life outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't work in that Garden of Eden. It ain't going to work today. It's in Him and through Him and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have redemption. You remember the example I gave you last week about the coupon? I don't know about any of you that might do coupons or not, but coupons are just basically, it's a piece of paper that somebody prints some ink on that says, I'll give you $2 off if you'll buy my gallon of milk, and you can have those $2 off. The milk's $2.99, so you get the milk for 99 cents, right? Pretty good deal. But that coupon is it's actually worthless unless you take it in and you make the exchange. You redeem the $2 off. You and I, dear friend, until the exchange takes place in this old body of flesh that we live in, until the redemption of this body, and we get that new body like unto Christ, that glorified body, dear friend, we'd apt at any moment, any day of the week, we could fall off into sin and make a shame of everything that Christ has done for us, and we're worthless, but dear friend, we've been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, and at the day of redemption, then we're going to be worth something. We're going to be known as He's known. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. I don't know about you, but I feel like that old paper sometimes, worthless. I mean, just where, you know, body hurting a while ago. I knelt down here trying to turn these lights on and almost didn't get up. Brother Jim said we need to get us one of those clapper things, you know, so you ain't getting down on your knees. I mean, it hurt there when I was trying to get up. And I feel worthless, but dear friend, I'm telling you, there's coming a day when this old body is going to be changed. And when God gets done, there'll be no more tears, there'll be no more pain, no more heartache, and we'll be joined together. Listen, that's the abundance that we have in Christ Jesus, redemption through His blood. Nothing we could do. Not the works of His hands, not by works of righteousness that we could present Him that would help us to have an opportunity to enter in heaven. Nothing we could absolutely do outside of faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said Himself in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man. You're not coming into heaven except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what it's talking about, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Not only redemption, dear friend, we have the forgiveness of sin. Listen, those sins were once our slave chains. I mean, we were bound up in them. You know, the Bible tells us that we need to be careful that we return not back to that bondage that we were in. But those sins that we have committed and we've lived in, they've been bound in, dear friend, they enslaved us. And that was our condition before we trusted Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And He redeemed us off that sin block. But there's something that's going on in our minds right now. Many of you, when I said that, you're thinking about sins that you have not forgiven yourself about. You've not allowed yourself to be forgiven. That's the guilt, the awareness that's in our mind of those sins that makes us hide from God, makes us hide from each other, makes us, listen, the devil and our flesh and ourselves convinces us that because we are sinners, listen, the Bible done said to us that if any man say he's not a sinner, he's a liar. You have sin, you live, you've committed sin, you live in those sins, but there is forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's faithful and just to forgive us all sins, but yet the awareness of those, man, We'll present ourselves a living sacrifice like the Bible says to us to do. In Romans, we present ourselves and the devil will come along and whisper in our ear. Says, you can't be involved in something like that because, listen, you did X, Y, and Z back yonder. And you know, we approach God. If we just go to God, God will tell us. If we've asked for forgiveness, God will say, what sins are you talking about? You've been forgiven. Far as the east is from the west. But they enslave us. And they keep us bound in our mind. And listen, I'm telling you something. Sin that we've committed in the past, sin that we'll commit today, and sin that we'll commit tomorrow, dear friend, brings shame, it brings withdrawal, it brings denial. We'll start denying, you know, and it's there. But the memory of our sins makes us feel, dear friend, just simply unacceptable to God in many aspects of our life. And the shame of the sin, it will cause us to become reclusive. We'll want to say, you find somebody that's missing church a lot. There's a reason, dear friend. There's a reason. Either they're in the midst of sin, or the devil's done convinced them that they are not worth being around God's people. Do you understand something different? Every one of us, if our life was open up to be known to everybody out here, we'd all be ashamed. We'd all be hiding off somewhere. We'd all be in a closet trying to hide ourselves and be secretive. And you know, not only that, I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. You get to fool around in sin and allowing sin to rule and to reign in your heart and to enslave you once again, bringing you back into captivity. You'll become suspicious of everybody. I mean, you will. This is the abundance in Christ. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Plural. That's the abundance that we enjoy in Christ Jesus. And listen, this is not some kind of license to live as you want, to do as you please. Oh no, dear friend. Not at all. In John chapter 8, verse 11, Jesus said unto her, where's those that condemn you? He said, where's those that have brought you here? As he's talking to the woman that's there, and she's been caught in adultery. And he said this, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Forgiven. Matter of fact, let's go over to John chapter 8 real quick and look at that. John chapter 8. Verse 11. John chapter 8, verse 11. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. This is what forgiveness is all about. Forgiveness is not so I can pick it up and do it again. Pick it up and do it again. Oh, he's going to forgive me. He's going to pick it up and do it again. No, different. The forgiveness is, the abundance in Christ is that He forgives us. He forgets it. It's over. It's done with. It's far as the east is from the west. And go and sin no more. The abundance that we enjoy in Christ is the power to live a holy and just and righteous life before Him and before man and the world. That is the abundance that we enjoy. You know what He said in John? He said, listen, the thief cometh but to kill and steal and destroy, but I come to give you life, and not only life. What did He say? Life more abundant. Amen. That's in Christ. That's the abundance. That's what we enjoy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen. Christ died for the unjust. Look with me over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Verse number 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21. The Bible says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us. Listen to what it says. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's the abundance in Christ. The Christ became sin for us. My sin, your sin, the sins of the world was placed upon Christ, who knew no sin, who had never committed sin, who was not a sinner, who needed no Savior, and yet He died for you and I so that we could have the hope of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the abundance in Christ. Don't allow this world and the philosophy of man. Even back then, the Jews, what did they see? They sought a sign, didn't they? What did the Greeks want? Greeks wanted education, wisdom. They wanted learning. They wanted to be able to... Listen, it was the foolishness of the cross. Isn't that amazing in the book of Corinthians that the Bible uses the word foolishness, I think, 6 or 7 times when it's dealing with Greeks who were seeking wisdom? You see how God works? You see the Jews running around looking for a sign. What other sign? God with us. Emmanuel with us. Oh, there was more than that. This is amazing stuff. You go with me over the book of Isaiah. Over the book of Isaiah. I think it's Isaiah 33. I looked at it a while ago. Let me see if I wrote that down. Isaiah 33. Isaiah 35, Isaiah 35, 5 and 7. Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 7. The Bible says, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped." They're looking for a sign. Now the Jews seek a sign. Okay, this is what happens when the Messiah was going to come on scene. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and the streams in the deserts. And the parched ground shall become a pool and thirsty land, with springs of water, and the habitation of the dragons, which where each lay shall be the grass with reeds and rushes. And they're looking for a sign, looking for a sign. They missed the whole sign. The sign was, it was all around them. Jesus made the lame walk, the blind to see, the dumb to see. He turned water into wine. He stilled the waters. I mean, the wind and the air. He calmed the seas. And they're looking for a sign, and the sign's all around them that they missed the Messiah. You ever heard the old saying, you can't see the trees because of the forest because of the trees? That's what the Jews was at, seeking a sign. It was right before them. It was all right before them what He would do. They knew the Old Testament. They knew the prophecies. They knew what it said. Well, how did you know that? Because that king said, hey, go, you go find him and tell him. Come bring me word. Remember he told the wise men? Bring me word. He didn't want to, listen, he wasn't looking for a sign. He wanted to kill somebody. He wanted to get rid of Jesus. Wanted to be done away with it. Jews seeking a sign. Listen, the signs are, quit seeking signs, dear friend. The hope of glory lives within you if you're God's child. Listen, we're going to put a fleece out here. You're not Gideon. You have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. You have the Word of God. You're going to worship God. Worship Him in spirit and truth. Want to do this, do that. Look into the Word and allow the Holy Spirit of God to lead and guide you. This is the abundance in Christ, dear friend, that we enjoy. I mean, we enjoy the abundance. We have the forgiveness of sin. We enjoy the riches of Christ. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. Do you understand something? That the grace of God bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Thank the Lord for it, that I'm not just, you know, on the other side of the world, part of a group that don't have no hope. Or I could be right here in Orlando, according to their theology, and I'm just not part of it. I'm thankful. I'm part of the whosoever we shall, and the Lord has saved me because He desired to save the world. If they would just come to Him and just call out to Him in faith and repentance toward God, Look in Ephesians chapter 1 again, verse number 7, in whom we have redemption through the blood, in the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His glory. Listen, grace is, it's very unmerited. Very unmerited. When we talk about the riches of God's grace, I mean, it just wasn't a little bit. You know, you and I, we're pretty graceful speaking until somebody don't go fast enough through a red light. Until somebody cuts in front of us at the grocery store and goes into the line. And we still got a little grace with them. But in our mind, we're thinking, man, I could run this buggy right up on her ankle and wouldn't feel bad about it. Just wouldn't. We can do a little bit of grace. God has riches and abundance of grace that He pours onto our lives. I mean, this is the abundance in Christ Jesus. Look at verses 8, 9, and 10. Listen to what it says. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in a little bit of wisdom. No, in all wisdom and prudence. You know what a prudence is different? Prudence is insight and discretion, discernment. And listen, as a Christian, because the Holy Spirit of God lives in us and dwells in us, we are able to look at the current events all around us. I was telling the young couple Sunday school class this morning, dear friend, that when they make regulations at work and they make regulations at schools and they say you can't talk about Jesus here and Jesus, listen, that's part of the signs of the time. That's what the Bible says is going to come to pass. It's going to be like that. It says evil men shall wax worse and worse. But it does not negate our responsibility to be a witness. Because He said, I'll be with you to the end of all ages. Including this one where we're living. We still got a great responsibility before us. Well, how do we understand it? Because all wisdom and prudence. In James, what it says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him talk to somebody at the high school, right? Let him come to the song leader. Hey, I love counsel. Godly counsel. I love it. But God gives wisdom liberally. And He abounds it upon us. That's what He says here in verse number 8. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. There, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. This is the abundance in Christ Jesus. Pastor, why are we always making such a to-do about Jesus? Because He's our all in all. What else are we going to make to do? John said, He must increase, we must decrease. I tell you this, Charles S. Spurgeon said, if he shows up three times and you ain't preached Jesus in three times, you need to go back to being whatever you was before He called you to preach. Because you're not a preacher of the gospel. I'm telling you, there's a lot of folks go around and they call themselves men of God, and yet they shy away from this thing called Jesus. There's no other name whereby men must be saved outside the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the abundance. Did you know the Greeks looking for signs, wisdom, and the Jews looking for signs, but it was the preaching of the cross. It became a stumbling block to them. It's become a stumbling block to people today. Oh, I want to come to church so that I can feel good about myself. Yeah, praise God. You feel good about yourself. It's because you're right with God. If you're a child of God and you're not feeling good about yourself, it may be because you need to be right with God. Listen, the Bible teaches us that we're not to think so highly of ourselves, but we're to think highly of Jesus because He is worthy. He is worthy. And so there's the abundance of knowledge in Him. And He offers abundant wisdom. And read on there verse number 9. Having made known unto us. Listen, made known unto us. Who? His children. Unto us the mystery of His will according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in itself. A mystery, dear friend, is a scripture. It is scripture that has previously been hid, but now is revealed divinely through the understanding and the unction of the Holy Spirit of God, as we read through the Word of God, we have a good understanding, good discernment, spiritual understanding of the Word of God, and it's revealed to us. To who? Back in verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ? Have you trusted Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, dear friend? Get out of the CSI and get into the KJV. Might get you a little understanding. Well, I like NCIS better, Pastor. The flesh would, I promise you. The Spirit needs the Bible. We need these mysteries that are hid there. And this is an amazing thing. Listen to me, teenagers. This is amazing right here that He is revealing it to you. That's amazing. Well, how does He do it? Through spending time with Him, cultivating a relationship with God, through reading the Word of God, through prayer, through fellowshipping with believers. And as you do that, you study it and look at it, and God begins to reveal things to you and help you to understand the passion of the Word of God, and you grow thereby. Isn't that amazing? Well, I ain't seen no growth in my Christian walk. Wow, you fellowship with God. You're reading the Word of God. You're praying. You're spending time with God's people. You add your faith. And you grow thereby. By faith come by hearing by the Word of God. These are the things that we have in abundance. Think about it with me just for a moment. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. He said not a jot, not a tittle. He said heaven and earth is going to pass away. But My Word is forever. That's the abundance in Christ. The written Word, which reveals the living Word, Jesus Himself, to us. This is what we get to enjoy in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the wisdom is there, and it's there. And read it there again, verse number 8. Verse number 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. If it brings Him pleasure to reveal. You know, the Bible says this: God's ways are higher than my ways. God's thoughts are much higher than my thoughts. But it brings God pleasure when you spend a little time with Him, get along with Him, and He reveals the mysteries of the Word of God to you. You know, there's religions for years have said that you, as the lay people, can't understand. That you don't have no business reading the Bible for yourself. I don't know what they do when the Bible says study to show yourselves approved. I know what they do. They just ignore it, throw it out so they can control and keep you under bondage of religious relic. Dear friend, God wants to teach you. So when Pastor tells you, hey, you need to spend time reading systematically, not jumping here or there, throwing darts and trying to figure out a verse here. I'm talking about get you a Bible reading system. Read the Old Testament, read the New Testament, read you some Proverbs daily, and you read through it and you spend time with it. Listen, during those times, God shows Himself real to you. Listen, I thank God when you come here to church, you come spend time and I'm preaching, or we have a guest speaker in, and you get something from that. But I'm going to tell you, the most richest times of your life is when God shows you something personal. Thank you. Hey, listen, the Bible says follow those that follow Christ. Is there? Listen, we're trying to build a church around here. I'm not trying to get you home to do some home studies. But you need to study at home so you can come here and be a part of what's going on. You know, there's too much of this, what can I give? What can you give? That's where we need to be. What can I give to the house of God? Pastor, there's just some days I need to get. I understand it. I'll tell you, I understand it. There's some days the devil will be fighting and things will be going on and things not going right. Then I come up here and I look out and I look at the church. I say, oh, there's that family. Praise God. There she is. Look at her. Faithful. And I know what she's going through. And I know what that family's going through. And they're here at the house of God. And I'm getting it.
That's why it makes me hungry to go get from the Word of God so I can give. I know about days of needing. We are needy people. But the best one that will meet any and every need you have is when you're alone and you're sitting at awe and you're being still and a small voice of God speaks to you personally. That's what it's talking about there. Having made known unto us the mysteries of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, made known unto us. Look in Colossians real quick, chapter number 1 and verse number, Colossians chapter 1, verse number 24. You know we're going through the book of Colossians in the morning hours. And so look at this verse here again. We've already went through this a couple of months ago, but we're going to read it again real quick, and we're going to call it quits tonight. I'm going to finish up right here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Listen to what it says. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up with up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. Verse 25. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Wait a minute, to fulfill the word, how do I know? You've got to be in the word to know the word, to be able to fulfill the word. Verse 26, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. This is the abundance that we enjoy in Christ. That He's willing to reveal His will to us, to hide these mysteries that He's hid from generation to generation, kept within the oracles of the Word of God. The oracles was first given to the Jews and kept by the Jews, and now it is spread across, and now the Gentiles, and now we all the way over here in America have opportunity through the hand of God where translations took place and the Word of God was presented to us and given to us, that we can study it and we can hide it in our heart, that we might use it to disciple others, that we might be able to present men and women and boys and girls perfect to Christ. What a mystery. What an abundance that God wants to use you. Listen, don't allow a man of God, a pastor, or a disciple, whatever they want to call themselves, to convince you that you cannot be used of God. The Bible says, after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, you shall be witness. Part of that witness, part of the Great Commission, is to teach men all things. That's your job. Well, how do I get that? I have not been to college. I haven't been to seminary. I don't have any Bible classes. Oh, dear friend, you have more. You have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. You have God's Word. Take it. Use it. And allow God to use you in His work. This is the abundance that we have in Christ. Now, next week, not next week because we got Brother LeBeau, maybe next Sunday night if Brother LeBeau comes back, is able to stay Sunday night with us, or he has to get on and get up into North Carolina. He might leave after church Sunday morning. We'll leave out at him. But whatever happens, we're going to start looking at the inheritance in Christ. Now, I know that's a good one. I know some of you folks probably done went down and, 2 weeks ago and tried to win that big mega Powerball. This is far greater. Because I see all y'all still sitting here. So you did win it. You wasted if you did. Riches take wings and fly away. So we're going to look at the inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. And there is no magical balls that you have to get. It's all in Jesus.
Yeah, there, I guess there he is. John 3:16 would be a good place to start, wouldn't it? Let's stand to our feet. Brother Jim, come on, let's sing a verse of invitation, and we'll close out the evening.